Hello, welcome to Interview in Indies episode 11. I'm the host, Burr, and today I'm not joined by anyone, really. I wanted to maybe take an episode to talk to you about me, if you don't really know who I am as a content creator, talk to you about how I got here, how I got into indie games, maybe even talk about the struggles that exist with making a podcast in 2024. So this might be the least popular episode because it's definitely going off the script away from interviewing an indie developer. But if you listen to it, I'll give you great reason why there is no interview this week. And really, the first and really only reason why there's no interview this week is, I don't want to get too real too fast, is I was extremely unmotivated to reach out to a lot of indie developers lately and ask them to come onto the show. I've been very, very lucky to have a lot of incredible guests on this show. Chris Barassa from my favorite game ever, Darkest Dungeon, was able to interview them. Got to interview so many great developers from so many of my favorite games. The interview of Berserk Boy, the Berserk Boy dev Zoo, that was a top-tier interview. I think me and him gelled really well. Talking with Dylan and May about Peglin. Talking with Paul about Halls of Torment. Ruby dev, the first developer I even interviewed with Tiny Rogues. There's been a lot of great developers that I have reached out to in the past, and they have been gracious enough to dedicate some of their time to come on the show. But just lately, have you ever heard the saying, you bit off more than you can chew? Because that, for me, is, I think, something that I have done as of late with this podcast. Now, granted, I'm going to tell you right now, the podcast is not going anywhere. I actually really enjoy this podcast. I think it's an incredible... It's only been going on for 2 weeks. This is episode 11. But I think the podcast has been absolutely incredible and one of the best things that I've done, pardon me, in my almost 10 years of making content on the internet. If you don't know, I've been making content on the internet for almost 10 years, which is insane. Almost 10 years. 10 years in 2025, which is almost insane. Because I'm only 27, going to be 28 next year, and 10 years of making content. It started out in Team Fortress 2, transitioned to Overwatch, then I transitioned to a little bit of Apex and Valorant when that went into beta. Then I kind of focused on Nintendo games a lot with a little bit of variety mixed in. And then the first like big indie game that got me super hooked into indies was in 2020 or 2021. I got addicted to Darkest Dungeon, which is kind of ironic because it turned out to be my favorite game. But either way, like I've been making content on a lot of indie games on my main YouTube channel, my Twitch channel, for years now, almost 3 years, 4 years. A lot of content on indie games. I kind of played through a lot of the big indie games first, a lot of big roguelites first, Metroidvanias first, the Hollow Knights, the Dead Cells, the Hades, Gungeon, all of that. Because I was playing Overwatch and Team Fortress 2 for 10 years. I missed out on a lot of incredible games. And this podcast, which I've had this idea for a podcast, interviewing indie developers for, I'm not even going to say that long. I think I've had this idea since March. Before around PAX East time, I've had this idea of like, maybe I should interview indie developers. That could be pretty fun. It would be a great way to make some new friends because I don't really have many IRL friends, which I think is a little bad, but that's a subject for another day. It was a really great way to connect with people in the industry that were not content creators. I'm not really that great at connecting with content creators either. But talking to indie devs and learning what their processes have been, some strategies that they've implemented to help make their game grow, or maybe that stuff that didn't help make their game grow, it's been eye-opening to see the other side, to see their perspective of content creation, because they are also content creators, indie developers. They're just a different side of content creators, I guess you could say, because they're making the content for me to create content on, if that makes sense. And being able to talk to them has been amazing. So I want to say the podcast is not going anywhere. I genuinely think in almost 10 years, it is one of the best things that I've done. But the saying of biting off more than I can chew applies here because that might be me. If you don't know, I have a very kind of busy life. I like to think it's kind of busy. I think being busy is fun. I don't like sitting around too much, but I like sitting around every once in a while. And the past few weeks, I've just been more unmotivated to get out there, which is not really good because it's taken me years to grow away from Overwatch and Nintendo and become the creator that I am today. I don't have as many views on Twitch as I did. I don't make as much money as I did at times. There are some months where I can make a bunch of money. There's some months that I don't. But the skills that I've learned with video editing, networking in terms of talking to podcasts, talking to like indie developers and reaching out, and cultivating a community of people that I can relate to, whether they watch on YouTube, whether they watch live on Twitch, or whether they listen to a silly little podcast, I've worked too hard in these past few years to give up entirely. I don't think I'm ever going to give up entirely on content creation. It's the best thing I've done in my life. It's like the only thing I really know in my life. I didn't go to college. I went to college for 1 year. I dropped out. I worked at a chicken wing shop before I became a full-time creator. I tried to go pro in Overwatch before I became a full-time creator. That did not work out, thank God. I do not like playing competitive video games anymore. But this is what I know, and this is what I think I'm best at. But with the podcast, it being one of the best things I've done, there's just too much in my life right now to guarantee one episode every single week. If you don't know, here's the process of me trying to get an episode planned. I look at games that I've played. That's the most important thing. If I'm interviewing a developer, I want to have played their game. If I haven't played their game a good amount or even beat their game, I don't think there's any point in talking to them. I need to be able to relate to them on a more personal level, and being able to experience what they've created allows me to talk to them easier, and it opens up the floor for so many more questions about stuff inside of their game and outside. So I need to make sure I've played their game first and foremost, which luckily all the developers I have talked to so far, I have played all of their games. I've played them a good amount, I like to think. Tiny Rogues, I've played for 50 hours. Peglin, I've played for 33 hours. Halls of Torment, 30. Darkest Dungeon, we don't need to talk about those hours. That is like the most important thing. I look for developers where I've played their game. And then I have to find a way to contact the developers. I will say this isn't that hard. Usually I can just message a developer and they'd say, hell yeah, I'd like to come on. Or they won't read it. Or they'll say they're busy. Can they schedule another time? And that's fine. Reaching out, that's not the biggest deal. I type up a professional email because I'm a professional content creator. And I shoot them a message, whether it be an email or a tweet. I personally think emails are a lot more professional and they look a lot better and they work 100% of the time. But, you know, sometimes you just need to shoot them a DM if they're a smaller developer. They don't really have professional emails or anything like that. That's the second step. First step, play their game. Second step, reach out to them and see if they respond. Third step only applies if step number two is successful and they agree to come on the show. Now, for every developer that has come onto this show so far, I work around their schedule because I think that's just the right thing to do. I'm inviting them on. I'm not going to demand them for be available at this time. My main job is creating videos and streaming on Twitch. My community understands that I'm flexible with it. I will be very flexible. A little too flexible at times, but I will... we'll figure out a time. All the times have been pretty normal, besides one time I did the Constantine, the developer of Drill Corps, one of the developers for Drill Corps. They were all the way in like Eastern Europe, and I had to interview them at 6 a.m. my time, which that's when I usually wake up, so that was a little tiring. If you listen to that interview, you can definitely tell I was a little out of it. But that's step three, schedule a time. Step four is where it gets a little bit harder. Step four, I have to find notes on every single developer. This is all me, by the way. I don't have a team behind me. I don't have the money for a team. I don't have the resources, which is basically just the money. I don't have the resources to have a team find notes on a developer, which also wouldn't really make much sense to me. What type of host would I be if I didn't even find the notes on the developer? Finding the notes on the developer is not a big deal. I just look at their website, look at their past games made, play their game, and just think, okay, this could be a good question. Let's talk about their history, what they got, what got them into it. Because there are some questions that will be and will be asked every single episode. And if you listen to all the episodes, you will hear that the question of what got you into game development, what got you into artwork, whatever their field is in game development, I asked how they got into it, and I try to explore their past as much as I can. Because that's the great thing about all these developers. They all have a unique history to them. They all have something different to share in that regard. I could ask all of them about marketing, and I've asked a few of them about marketing. The answers are typically the same. Oh, we contacted streamers, we contacted YouTubers, we looked at who played these types of games. You know, that's pretty basic. That's a pretty basic question. But the great thing about asking what got you into game development, you get to know them more on a personal level. You get a scope into what their life was like before it became what it was. And that is obviously an incredible thing to learn about another individual. Every human is a unique specimen that has millions of stories, not millions, unless they're, you know, old as hell. They have so many different stories and experiences, and it's just fun to learn. So step three is finding the notes, and obviously I like taking the notes. Step four is actually doing the interview, which I think is the most fun part. For me, it's the most nerve-wracking at the first, 2 minutes, because I've never really talked. I don't really talk to people one-on-one. I've had a very lucky life, I guess you could say. I live in Canada, for God's sakes. That's how much more lucky could I get there. But I've never had a job interview. When I turned 16, I got a job. I got a job when I turned 15 that I started when I turned 16. I turned 15, we were eating at my favorite restaurant. The owner comes out and says, "Hey, happy birthday. How's your birthday?" My mom says he needs to get a job next year. He's like, "I'll give him a job next year." Next year comes along, I have a job. Never had an interview because it was the only job I had before content creation. And I've never really done public speaking or anything like that. So the interviews are always a little bit nerve-wracking for me, but, you know, I've done 10 of them now as of recording this episode. This is probably the weirdest episode yet, so if you're still listening, thanks. 10 interviews so far, and if I go back to the first interview with RubyDev, you could definitely tell the nerves are there. But, you know, the great thing about this podcast is I love video games. The developer loves video games. And right there, boom. Got a connection with a person, that fear dissipates and just disappears so fast. The nerves dissipate when you get into it. You start having the conversation. And I think I'm a pretty okay host at asking some questions, keeping the conversation going. I've only interviewed multiple devs twice, but I like to think it balances out pretty well. That's step four of getting the podcast done. Step four, step one. Play the game, step two, reach out, step three, schedule, step four, notes, step five, interview. Step six is the interview's over, and I film a nice intro and an outro, doesn't take long, and then I render it as an MP3 and render it as an MP4. That's step six. Step seven of this podcast, schedule it. Step seven is scheduling the podcast every Monday around 11:45 a.m. Mountain Time, because that's where I live, Mountain Time, about 1:45 p.m. Eastern Time. I still go by Eastern Time because I feel like most of the world goes by Eastern Time and Pacific Time. Schedule the podcast is step seven. Step eight, upload it, tweet it out. This is where I struggle the most. Try to market it. 10 years of content creation, I still can't market for shit. I can't. I'm trying my best to get better at it. I always tell myself, let's use social media more, whether it be Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, all that dumb shit that people use. I always tell myself, start tweeting on it more. You know, tweet when you go live, tweet the podcast. And I've been good with tweeting the podcast to an extent when it goes live. But oh my God, I hate social media. I don't like using it, and I always forget about it. But step eight is marketing the podcast to try to get it to a lot more people. And that's where I struggle, and that's where and why the podcast struggles. I like to think this podcast is top tier and incredible. I like to think it's incredible because it's my work. I don't want to have an ego, but I think it's good content, and I need to get better at marketing the podcast. And step nine is part of marketing the podcast, and it's finding clips to upload to YouTube Shorts and TikTok. I'm not uploading a one-hour podcast on the TikTok. That's not allowed. But you wanna get the small clips from a podcast, quick tidbits that are good information, good content, whether it be a funny story, just a quick tip from a developer, or anything like that, and then upload it. This is the tip. This is the tip. This is the part that I struggle with a lot because it's a lack of time. So for step nine, you get the clips and send them out to all the different short creation platforms. Making YouTube Shorts and TikToks, incredible way to grow. Get your content out there to a wide audience that will swipe away in less than a second. They'll swipe away most of the time. But you will get some people. And that is the big thing, getting people. And this is the hardest step, not because I'm the worst marketer ever, but it's finding the time to dig through an hour-long podcast and find clips that are good. I have done it with every podcast up to the Rogue Legacy podcast, I think. Maybe even just the Darkest Dungeon one. So I'm like four episodes behind right there in that aspect. Luckily, I don't think I need to do any in this episode. That will be good. But I'm like four episodes behind there because I try to get like three clips out of a podcast. And luckily, this is the one thing that I can afford to give to somebody else because the person that edits these clips, God bless their soul, Sephrin, that's the editor for the YouTube short clips. God bless them. They give me, I think, a very good deal for the podcast clips, and they make the editing top-notch. I get the clips, send them out to them. They send it back to me when they can. I'm the type of guy that when I send out something like that and I'm asking somebody else to do some type of work for me, I don't really rush them. Don't rush them. You'll get it done when you get it done. We all have busy lives. But that's step nine, is getting clips and sending it out. And step 10 is uploading said clips and then repeating the cycle throughout the week. So I could be doing step nine and step one at the exact same time, if you understand what I mean. And that's not a big deal, but the timing and biting off more than you can chew is the big deal. Because on top of doing all of those 10-step programs, where this is an intervention apparently, these 10-step programs, I'm also streaming video games on Twitch like 40 hours a week, give or take, 35 to 40 hours. And right there, that's a full-time job. It ain't paying like a full-time job, but it's a full-time job. It's my main source of income, so I can't really afford to not do it a lot because it's my main source of income, and I'm lucky to live in a place that's not super expensive. I live in northern Alberta. It's not super expensive up here. If I go any more north, it's going to get more expensive, but I live in a major city in northern Alberta. It's not super expensive yet. That's lucky for me. But on top of me streaming 40 hours a week, give or take, it could be less, could be more, depending on what I do, I'm also uploading stuff to a YouTube Let's Play channel, which I've become much more lazy with because it's a YouTube Let's Play channel. It's just VODs from my Twitch stream. And then on top of that, I'm also trying to edit for my main YouTube channel, which is another one. It's hard to choose between my three proudest things in content, whether it be the incredible community that I've somehow cultivated on Twitch, or whether it be the YouTube videos that I've made. I know tier lists do well. I have two tier lists with 1 million views. Okay, whatever. But the editing that I clearly have gotten better at and I want to continue to get better at, or it's the podcast. Like, they're all such different forms of content. Twitch is live, and I like to think I can be pretty entertaining live. I look back to a few years ago where I feel like I've had a lot more energy and I was more, what's the word I'm blanking on? This is when another person is good, because then they could tell me what word I'm blanking on. oh God, what is it? You just like, you're moving around a lot. You know, it's like watching Sebastian Maniscalco in 2010 in Netflix stand-up comedy specials. He's moving around a lot. He's a lot more animated, maybe. Maybe that's the word, animated, compared to now where I'm more laid back. And I miss the animated more me. Not like the attitude that I had and the stupid jokes that I made and the, I guess, me as a whole there. But I kind of miss some of that animated. But regardless, there's too many things that I have in my life to be able to fully dedicate once a week without burning out. I did it for 10 weeks, 2.5 months, and I think, I'll just say it, I don't think, I'm just tired, man. I work, I stream a lot, I make videos when I can on YouTube because that's a side hustle. I love doing the podcast. I know I sound very monotone all the time. People tell me I have a resting bitch face and I'm hard to read, but I love doing the podcast, man. Like I said, being able to connect with developers and talk with them. It's just hard to dedicate the time every single week to it. And I feel bad that I can't make all this content all across all these different platforms. And I promise I'm going to talk about indie games eventually in this. We're 21 minutes in now. I'm sorry that we haven't talked about a single indie game yet. But I feel bad that this week you're not getting a full episode and you're just getting me rambling for 20 minutes about content and whatever comes to my mind. So that's why there's not an episode. I've had no motivation. And I know maybe you'll ask, but you had the motivation before. What really happened there? Numbers, man. Numbers. I one thing on Twitch is I'm very transparent with... I'm very transparent with everything. I like to be open and honest. If I can be open and honest, I like to be open and honest. If I have a sponsorship, I'm going to let you know how much money I'm making from said sponsorship. And I'm only going to do a sponsorship if I like it. This is for sponsorships where you need the viewers to participate on Twitch. There's a lot of sponsorships like that. Like you have like Stream Elements that does sponsorships, like get X amount of players to do this in Honkai Star Rail. I feel that transparency is a very important thing that maybe a lot of people don't do. I'm not really sure. I don't get to watch as much content as I would like. I feel like transparency is a big thing. And I'm just tired. Doing everything like this on top of trying to live a life and like exercise, eat healthy, be there for the family that you do have. It just adds up. And after 10 weeks of doing all of this, I think I reached kind of my breaking point. Like, I'm not burned out, but I can feel it coming. You know what I mean? Phil Collins, he's singing that song about me coming in the air tonight. It's burning in the air tonight. Yeah, because the burnout is slowly approaching, and I like to think I can weather that storm pretty easily by just taking a step back, evaluating the situation, and figuring out what I can change. And sadly, one of those things that I can change that will help with the burnout, there's obviously stuff going with YouTube and Twitch that's going to help with it, but with the podcast, because that's what you're listening to, it might be to not guarantee an episode every single week. I'm not going to say this podcast is dead. I don't want this podcast to ever be dead. I love it. I want to do it live at a goddamn convention with a developer. I think that would be awesome. I want to get back to interviewing a developer the minute I can, but I've had no motivation to do it. But the motivation is back because I'm recording this right now. It took me a couple days, but I'm recording this now. It's just, I got to take a step back. Be fine with an episode not coming out every single week. And just dive headfirst into a game and love it. And that's, I guess, what I'm doing. I announced something in my Discord on Twitch. My Twitch schedule is going to slowly change where I step back a little bit. Because the thing about content creation, and here's, I'll give you just a straight up truth with streaming a lot of indie games and a lot of roguelites that people have never heard of. This is just the truth. They will not do shit for your growth. They won't do much. And it's just the harsh truth of the situation. A lot of these indie games, not the ones that I've streamed, but there's a lot of indie games that are absolutely incredible. And as a creator, especially at my size, it's hard to justify playing them at times. I think they have potential to be absolutely incredible on YouTube, and if they do, I usually try to play them. And even if they don't have a lot of potential for live streaming, I still try to play them. But that's not the smartest thing, because you can only run on fumes for so long, especially in terms of like numbers. My numbers have been slowly dipping. They've been going back and forth a little bit between like 50 to 60 average years, 40 to 60. And I've had this talk with my community multiple times, and I'm having it with you podcast listeners the first time. You probably heard it, but it's just trying to find a way to help stimulate growth on the main platform of Twitch. And my main thing is trying to stimulate growth from other platforms like YouTube with main videos. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully, this will work out well. In my head, it's like, let's no life one game and interview that developer. But not every developer is going to want to do it. And there's obviously about a lot of, you know, situations there. So I'm trying to play more games off stream. I've been doing better with that. Shout out Steam Deck. I'm stuck on Peglin, though. I'm addicted to it. And it's just trying to find the right balance. I'm losing my train of thought now. And I'm trying my best. This podcast, though, is something very, very important to me. And I'm excited for the future of it. Even if it doesn't get a lot of listeners or a lot of views or really anything like that, that's really okay. I didn't get into content creation to become famous. It just so happens to be my job now. I didn't expect it to be. I don't want anything to change from it. But I do know that nothing lasts forever. And no matter how long I get to be on this bus ride of an incredible job, I'm going to continue to work my butt off to the best of my ability to make it work with doing things the way I want to do mostly. This podcast, no matter what, I want it to be here in the background, even if it means I have to not give it as much focus as I have and maybe put it on a back burner to simmer a little bit, but, you know, continue keeping my eye on it, get an episode out, try to get an episode out every week. I can't promise that. Guaranteed cannot promise that. Every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, 2 weeks would be ideal. That's a perfect time. Once a week is obviously perfect, but, you know, I don't have all the time in the world. If this podcast was generating a lot more revenue, I could easily justify, hey guys, there's a lot less streams because the podcasts are popping off. But this podcast is not really generating any revenue unless you count Patreon subs. And I've had a Patreon for a while, and it just started to become a lot more valuable thanks to this podcast by giving episodes early. And even then, I feel like I should have some sort of bonus episodes, but just haven't had really the time for that. And I know some people will be like, I've heard this argument when talking content creation. Oh, if you're a content creator, you got to be working 18 hours a day. You got to be on that grind. I'm going to burst that bubble right now. No, you don't. That's not life, man. As great as this job is, if you told me I have to work 18 hours every single day for like 3 years to crack it into content creation, is that how you make it? I ain't made for that, man. I can bust out an 18-hour day here and there, even a few times a week if I need to. Not every single day, though, man. Everyone in the working world deserves a day off. Content creation is incredible, but if you do anything that much, you're eventually going to hate it. Trust me. It happened to me. Remember when I said I tried to go pro in Overwatch? Do you want to know what my schedule was like when I tried to go pro in Overwatch? My schedule was this. I would wake up. I still lived with my mom at this point in New Hampshire. I would wake up and stream Overwatch for 6 hours. Try to start around 10:30, 11 o'clock. End the stream, 5 o'clock. Scrims start at 6. I got an hour. Get that frozen mac and cheese from Trader Joe's out of the freezer and get it in that oven. Not good, but then I would scrim for about 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours. And that's was basically the entire day. Then after the scrims, maybe there'd be a VOD review because you have to watch footage to get better. Or maybe you just jump into ranked to practice. I lasted a month doing that, and it was terrible. It was terrible. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to be a pro at Overwatch anymore because after 1 month of trying to do it that way, I could have looked at the situation a little bit differently. I averaged like 15 viewers on Twitch at that moment. It wasn't really anything. But then I focused on being more of a content creator and a streamer, and I think that was the right choice because going pro in a video game is not for me. I will say that now. I don't want to do that. I never want to do that. I like playing my games a little casually and, you know, doing my own thing like that. But that's the type of schedule that sometimes people expect you to have with content creation. You wake up, you edit a YouTube short, you get it out, you start streaming by 9:30 because you were up at 6:30, 7 o'clock editing that YouTube short. You stream 6 to 8 hours. You eat some dinner because you DoorDashed it because that's all you did. And then you start editing some more videos and you start reaching out for content collaboration. It's not realistic, man. It's not realistic to expect somebody to work that much. Like I said, every once in a while, yeah, you can justify it. Especially in this, it's a competitive field. Very saturated field that I'm lucky to even have a foot in. But nobody wants to do that. I'm sure maybe some people want to do that, but I don't want to do that. I have a life. I have a life, believe it or not. I like things. I like going outside, taking walks. I like exercising and working out, staying healthy, trying to research and find healthy foods, healthy recipes. I like achievement hunting. That's one thing we can get into. I love watching television. I know, I love watching television. I love it. I watch TV every night. I love achievement hunting. I like doing other things. Granted, achievement hunting, you know, I'm currently trying to achievement hunt this. Mirror's Edge, if you're not watching, it's Mirror's Edge. I'm trying to get all the achievements in Mirror's Edge. I like collecting Xbox 360 games. As you can tell, I have, well, there's a lot of Switch games behind me, but there's a lot of Xbox 360 games behind me too, because I'm starting to collect that again, because it's fun. Just like this podcast is a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. Collecting Xbox 360 games, that's easy. I take a bus, go to a game store, spend $20, and get 2 games. This podcast, you heard that 10-step program. It's a lot of work, and it's worth the work. But with everything else, it just is not justifiable at the moment. So basically, at the end of the day, what I'm saying, do not expect an episode every single Monday, and I'm sorry for that. I really am. I like to think I'm a hard worker, and I can do anything, but there's a limit on what I can and cannot do. I need to stream. I need to edit. And I need to do the podcast. Currently, at this moment in time, I am trying to balance all of them the best that I can. And I'm changing things up as we speak, changing the schedule up a bit, and really trying to find that perfect balance. And I think every day I'm getting a little bit closer to it. And just know I am very, very excited to reach out to more devs probably tonight and talk to them, see if they want to join, get an episode rolling. Because it's really, it's just dedicating the time, and I'm going to, once I allocate some more time and plan everything out better, it should be good to go, and I'm really excited for that future, and 2 years from now or a year from now, I hope this podcast is still going on. I really do hope it's still going on, and it's blossoming. It doesn't even have to be blossoming. I hope it's blossoming, because let's be honest, every content creator wants to succeed. I just hope I can still be full-time and still doing this podcast, even if it doesn't generate anything on Patreon or anything like that. I don't know how ads work on Spotify or YouTube for podcasts. Don't care how they work. I just want to talk to people. Humans desire interaction with other humans, and this podcast is perfect for me, because it, just like editing YouTube videos, it expands my skills in other areas besides sitting in front of a camera and streaming video games, because I'll be honest, that's the easiest part of the job. Most time consuming as well, because it's the main source of income, but that's the easiest part of the job for me. I love talking. I can yap forever. I've been yapping for 34 minutes straight because there's not an indie developer around here to shut me up. I love yapping, and I'm a human like anybody else. This is the most I've talked in a podcast in the first 3 minutes. I usually don't talk in the podcast. I let the developer rip and I just listen. I love listening to it, but I also love talking. And I lost my train of thought, but I hope this podcast is still super successful in a year. Not even super successful. I just hope it's still going in a year. And if it's super successful, great. If it's not, I hope I'm still going good on Twitch. But now that that's out of the way, 35 minutes in, I guess we can discuss a few content plans I have, why don't we? There's a lot of games on my docket that I have been trying to slowly play and slowly knock out, whether it be on Steam Deck or playing games on Twitch. I will say I have been really hooked into achievement hunting. This is not indie, so we'll get the non-indie stuff out of the way. I've been really into achievement hunting lately. Absolutely loving it on Xbox 360. I'm currently doing Mirror's Edge, like we said. I haven't been able to do it in a few days as of recording this. I haven't been able to play. Started writing the script, recorded it. Need to get some editing done on it when I find the time, but I got a lot of games behind me. I'm not going to show them. I'll just name off a few that I've bought and that I would like to achievement hunt. The original Left 4 Dead on Xbox 360. I love Left 4 Dead. One of my favorite games of all time. Left 4 Dead 2. Mwah. Left 4 Dead was cheaper, so I bought it. I would love to achievement hunt that Godfather 2 on Xbox 360. I love that as a teenager. Would love to get in there hopefully soon and be able to play that. Call of Duty World at War, Nazi zombies, the original zombies. Oh my god, a lot of people are playing Black Ops 6 right now, my partner included. She's hooked on the Black Ops 6 zombies, and I'm a boomer who looks at it, it's like, that's not zombies, that's just all of this new stuff. Would love to go through, play Call of Duty World at War. Call of Duty 2, I'd love to go do that veteran campaign. Those are a few of the Xbox 360 games I bought. I also bought Gears of War, Gears of War 2, 3, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. What else have I bought? I bought Fallout 3, the Game of the Year edition, Bioshock 1 and 2. There's a lot of games that I would love to play on 360 and achievement hunt when I can. I might dedicate some stream time to that if I can. But if we're talking in terms of indie games now, I just finished a Blood Moon run in Darkest Dungeon. I say finished, I died. I lost like 6 characters to Wilbur. I was having a rough time in Darkest Dungeon. If you don't know what a Blood Moon run is, it's the hardest type of run that you can do without adding any like crazy modifiers, like mods. It's the Crimson Court DLC enabled on Stygian difficulty, which is the toughest difficulty. And with Crimson Court, it turns into Blood Moon. I have completed a Blood Moon run before, but this last one I did died on about week 74 out of 100, so it failed. I'm still hooked on Peglin. The developers we interviewed were Dylan and May from Red Nexus Games. They've made Peglin and Foul Damage as their kind of big hitters. I'm really hooked on Peglin. I'm trying to beat Crucible 20, which is not easy to do. As Dylan said in the podcast, those difficulty enhancers are really difficult. I'm stuck on like Crucible 11, I think. I would love to be able to beat all of those eventually if I could, but I do want to make a video on Peglin on my main YouTube channel. I think Peglin's one of the best games I've played this year that fully released. It's been in early access for a couple years, but one of the best games I've played early that's fully released easily. I love Peglin. I've also been trying. I started it a couple weeks ago. I haven't been able to get back to it. Foul Damage, the other game by Red Nexus. Red Nexus Games, their other game they've made, mostly made by May. She's been working on that game for a few years. It's like a precision platformer with some physics bit involved. You play as an egg, and if you jump too high, you die. If you hit the floor, you die. There's a lot of passion behind it. It's not really super long, but the amount I've played it for about 2 hours. I'm on the fourth section. It might be the last section. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't beat it. Been trying to play that. I think that's a great game. Another game that came out of early access this year that I'm trying to play more of. I have not streamed it yet, but I hopefully will stream it soon. It's probably one of the best turn-based roguelites that I've played in a long while. Small deck building aspects of all. I guess you could call it a turn-based deck builder. A lot of strategy involved, and it's Shogun Showdown. I've played that game for like 6 hours. I haven't even won a run yet. I've made it to the final boss once. That game, let me tell you, there's something about that game. Like, I could put it down for a couple weeks and not even really think about it. But then when you get into it, like, you pick it up. Oh my god, it's just so simple to play. It's such a simple game in the best way possible. It's so creative with the turn-based combat. dodging the enemy moves that they do, your cards are your movesets, like an arrow that you shoot at an enemy. They all do different amount of damage. Arrow, swords, you could like charge at an enemy with a card. But it is such a creative game, and the runs take maybe 30 minutes at that. I haven't been able to clear it, but I do genuinely love it. And Shogun Showdown, one I think a lot of people, if you're a big fan of turn-based roguelites, even deck builders, 100% get this one. It's one of the best roguelites of the year. It could go down as one of the best roguelites ever in my eyes, and once I fully get into it more, it's so easy to sink time into. My biggest session of it, I started playing before bed. Next thing you know, it's like 11:45, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go to bed. I go to bed at like 10 o'clock, because I wake up at 6, but... yeah, that game is awesome. I'm trying to play that more. I absolutely love that. Raven's Watch is a roguelite I haven't been able to play in a couple weeks. It's on my Let's Play channel. Love Raven's Watch as well. I have been able to clear it a couple times on a couple different characters. Capato, the engineer, and the... I'm blanking on her name. It was like the mermaid lady. I was able to clear a couple runs there. I wanted to pick it back up, but haven't really had the time for it. So that's another great roguelite, though, I've kind of played. More indies. I'm really excited for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate. That comes out November 6th, a couple days after this airs. So if you're listening to this, you know, at a random day in the world, that game's probably already out. It's already out on Apple Arcade and Nintendo Switch. But I'll be completely honest, I don't play any mobile games. I don't. I'm not playing Pokemon TCG Pocket like everybody else. I got addicted to Marvel Snap for a bit. Never really played it on my phone, played it on PC. But I don't really play mobile games, so didn't play it on Apple Arcade. And Nintendo Switch, I'll be completely honest again, I'm not picking up any games that are on PC. I'm not picking that up on Nintendo Switch. I'm sorry. Why should I play a game on Switch if it's already on PC and it can run on my PC? And if it's not on my PC, if it's on Xbox or PlayStation when I have those, why would I pick up a Switch game in that case? I only play Nintendo Switch for one thing and one thing only, and that is first-party Nintendo games. Mario, Metroid, I'm wearing a hat, I'm wearing a Metroid hat. Metroid, Pikmin, love Pikmin, Kirby. I'm only picking up Nintendo Switch for those. Sorry, Nintendo. Not Pokemon. But I'm excited for Splintered Fate. I played the demo of it during Steam Next Fest, so that should be a really good game when it comes out. I'm going to try to no-life it a little bit, maybe get a video on it. Another game we played during Next Fest comes out, I think, the 16th of November. I could be totally wrong. It's in the middle of November, though, maybe even the 12th. Beastie Ball. It has cute monsters like Pokemon, but its turn-based combat is all volleyball. That's a pretty good indie game that I played for about 20 minutes. It was a short demo. That's a good one that came out recently. Didn't come out recently. I was thinking of the next game. I'm thinking two games ahead. That's a good game that came out, and I'm excited to hopefully pick that up. We'll see if I have the time. With the schedule I have in mind, I'm trying to pick up a game, no life it for a bit, beat it a few times if it's a roguelite or whatever, and then drop it and just go to the next thing and write a script as I'm playing it so I can have the best script possible and all of that. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles might be my first game at that. But Beastie Ball is another game that's coming out. Looks good. If you like turn-based, volleyball turn-based with cute monsters, you'll probably like that one. It's pretty nice. I recently played Wormhole. That came out October 31st, right on the cusp of Halloween, or maybe even the 30th. It's the first game made by Pocket Moon Games. They're in my Twitch chat a lot. They're pretty awesome. Good group of devs over there. They also put me in the credits of their game, probably because I showcased it during the Steam Next Fest. I genuinely think that is one of the most underrated games of the year. Most underrated game of the October Next Fest by a mile. Wormhole is amazing. It's like Worm on steroids. Or Snake on steroids, not Worm. You know that game Snake on the Nokia phones that you eat something, then the snake gets bigger and your job is to not hit yourself, basically? That's what this game is, except it's insane. It is absolutely insane. Fast-paced, high-score-based, lots of unlocks that you get. Not a crazy amount, but honestly, a really good game for $10. Been playing that one a little bit, trying to play more of it, but I'm strapped for time. I'm taking 45 minutes to do this podcast episode that is going to be the weirdest podcast episode yet. I'm trying to think of other indies off the top of my head that are more so coming out. There's another game, another roguelite that I played. I'm opening up Steam right now. You can't see this. You can only see my pretty, pretty face. Another roguelite game that recently came out, though, was Sulfur. It came into early access. I only played it for like an hour. I think I need to give it more time off stream. But Sulfur was a fun little first-person game. It seems pretty unique, but it didn't really hook me in fully, which I guess that's not good if it didn't hook me in fully. But Sulfur is a game I feel like a lot of people have been playing. What else is coming out? I'm hoping The Precinct comes out soon. That's a game I just looked at. Not many games actually have like a full release date for indies. I guess Yonok's another one I played during Steam Nexus. Yonok comes out November 13th. Dimensionals comes out the 18th. I just passed by it November 18th. That's another turn-based game. I'll say there's too many turn-based games, man. There's too many of them. There's too many turn-based games. I want to play not all of them, but there's a lot of good ones. Keeper's Toll is a Horde Survivor game that recently came out. I guess I can say that. Keeper's Toll, Horde Survivor game. Looks like a top-notch Horde Survivor game. I'll say that. I haven't played it. Someone in my Twitch community linked it to me. That game looks really good if you're into Horde Survivors. There's a million of those. Halls of Torment came out last month. Love Halls of Torment. The Keeper's Toll, that looks pretty good. And I guess, yeah, those are some indie games that are coming out in the future. There's a lot of indie games I want to play that come out that don't have a release date. Waltz and Jam, Blueprints, Hollywood Animal. That's a city builder, but I like city builders, so I just don't make content on them. Heyo! But yeah, there's a lot of great games coming out. A lot of great games coming out in the next week. A lot of great games coming out that don't have a release date. Dragon Age just came out. People have been liking that game. Never really played it, but hey, the development team was founded in my city, so that's cool. But yeah, that's this podcast episode, I guess. I guess at the end of the day, what I want to say is the truth about making a podcast in 2024 is it's hard, man. I'm alone. I don't have anything. I don't have the money to outsource a lot of the work. And when I say a lot of the work, I mean like making YouTube videos, and that's mainly the main thing. Editing YouTube videos, managing my channels. Don't have the money for that. I don't know if I want someone to do that, but it's more about me trying to balance everything. And the biggest thing I'm trying to get better at is marketing, so this podcast can take off the ground a little bit. Hell, I don't need this podcast to even take off the ground. I just need Twitch to take off the ground a little bit more. Like I said, this podcast could generate 0 pennies and I would be happy. All I care about is being able to wake up, buy groceries without worrying, pay bills without worrying, save a little bit because I want to retire too, just like everybody else, the ripe age of 86. And if everything can come around, I'm working on my best to balance everything. The past 2 months, I haven't done the best at balancing, and I apologize for the not-so-great content, especially if you watch on Twitch. I feel like I've not been delivering on good content there in general. Podcast, I appreciate everyone that does listen to it. I really do. I don't really get to say it in a more sincere tone, I guess. I say thanks for listening and watching at the end of every episode, but I genuinely do mean thanks for listening and watching. And the people that do say, like, hey, good job, man, it means a lot, because I don't hear it that much, to be honest. My partner tells me it, love her to death, and it makes me feel good. But the people that say, hey, good job, keep it up, and the people that listen or watch in the background without saying anything, I just, thanks. Hopefully we'll have another episode next week and we can get back to interviewing some indies so you don't got to listen to me talk anymore. But if you want to support the show and financially support it, you can subscribe to the Patreon and get the episodes a few days early. If you want to watch me play video games live, you can do that on twitch.tv/burr. But thanks for listening or watching this episode of Interviewing Indies. And, well, sorry it wasn't much about indies, but you got to learn about the host a little bit more. Thanks for listening or watching, and yeah, I'll see you next time. Take it easy.